and welcome to the first ever broad topics discussion. We're going to try to, I'm going to try to keep this as least awkward as possible. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome everybody to the Zoom show. How's it going? Joanne is here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Joanne with the plan.
Who wants to go next? Ro?
I'm Ro from New York.
Will?
I'm Will in Portland, Oregon.
Mandy, is that you?
Yes. Hi. I had to steal my child's laptop to do this. I don't know how to log out of her Zoom. So it says Maddie.
Okay. Matt Loves TV is here.
Hello.
And Jim. From New Hampshire, yes, not Maine.
Nope. I'm close to Maine.
Very
a half hour drive. But not Maine.
That's pretty close.
And Jim is here. Cool. All right. How's it going, everybody? So if you haven't caught on, what we're trying to do is once a month have a interactive discussion with listeners where we can talk about current events or something that's going on in the world, particularly leading up to the election. We'll do it once a month for now. If we want, if there's a, you know, a good reaction to this, we'll add more, maybe go to every other week when we get into the fall. But yeah, so very glad that you guys joined us. Does anybody have anything that they particularly want to discuss? I know there is so much going on in the world right now.
We do have somebody from Portland on the call with us.
I was wondering, like, what is the rest of the country hearing about what's happening in Portland?
Why don't you tell us what is going on from...
I don't know. Well, you know, we've been having nightly protests since... you know, right around the time George Floyd was killed, and you know, maybe seeing pictures of where people would like cover an entire bridge where they're, you know, laying down on their back, you know, just kind of a symbolic gesture. I guess the first couple of nights it was really, well, the nights where it got really bad in terms of looting and violence, but from what I've heard, like, I haven't been out there myself, but from what I've heard, it's been mostly peaceful since. And what I've heard is that, at least from the side of the protesters, is that it's the police who are instigating all the violence and, you know, throwing tear gas and, you know, beating people. And just recently the president sent federal troops in to restore order. Like, if you listen to the president, you think that the entire town is under siege by anarchists, but it's really just isolated to a small section of town, like the police headquarters. They go out to scream at the police every night or whatever, and, or the federal building. And Donald Trump is really, you know, concerned about making sure the federal building doesn't become damaged. So, you know, there's been footage I've seen of unidentified troops just detaining people and throwing them in vans, and who knows where they go and, you know, what happened. And our governor has vocally said that we don't want them here, but I'm not sure what power they have to, you know, kick the federal troops out. Our mayor is a pretty unpopular mayor, and, you know, a lot of people, I guess, aren't really expecting much of him. And one of our, I don't know if we call it a city council or what, but one of our council members was saying, you know, if you're not going to do anything, give me control of the police. And but the police have been some of the ones, you know, down here since May, you know, clashing with protesters. So I don't know. You know, yeah. How is this going to resolve itself? But it seems like the federal troops being involved has only emboldened protesters to do more, like maybe lit a fire under them. I don't know if you saw the video of the lady who
I was
out in the street.
And spread eagle?
Flashed.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I saw
it. I did awesome. Not.
I will. Oh, God. Okay. I'll put the link in the chat. It's, yeah. yep.
That is so, very so Portland. Yeah.
So you buried the lead. I'm shocked. You said Trump lied about something.
I'm sorry.
They may be getting there. I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm a
lying liar that lies lied. Somebody who's grossly uninformed and doesn't read things lied.
What? That's crazy.
So did you all hear that he is sending troops to Chicago and
yes.
another city too?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I guess this is like the next point on our tip towards like dictatorship, yeah. But it is, you have to, you know, really remark on the hypocrisy. That's the thing, is like, if people are going to be terrible, just be honest about it. It really gets me when people are hypocritical, because
where are the
party
libertarians?
Of small government sending in federal troops. And then, of course, the other parallel of, like, you have people complaining about masks and that infringing upon your personal liberty, but they don't seem to care if these federal troops are coming in and, like, whisking people away to undisclosed places. It's just, it boggles the mind. Like, the inconsistency bothers me. Just, like wow. if you're gonna pick a way to think about something, just be consistent.
Right.
Right. It's like, to take that a step further, it's like, it's the state's rights in dealing with how they're handling COVID and the making sure that their hospitals are stocked with PPE and such. Like, the government doesn't want to step in on that, but yet this is what they want to step in on. Like,
talk about
hypocrisy.
It's a terrible like,
it's state's rights or it's not.
Well, it's a terrible strategy.
I would say they're being very consistent. They're consistently, if it's about them,
right. Yes. Right. The deeper meaning.
Yeah, like, where's that well-armed militia that's supposed to protect us from the federal government? They're just sitting by laughing, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Y'all wanted to have your guns so bad for your militias, so.
Right. So the people with the...
Where you at?
The people with the bomb shelters are that are stocked up for the apocalypse are the same ones that couldn't stay inside for 2 fucking weeks. Or yeah. Months or whatever.
Just need to go to a bar and order a Bud Light.
Oh, my God.
To take this further, like, if those like sort of crazy people like actually acted violently against the government, that would be totally messed up. Even if I don't agree with sending in the federal troops, like, that would be, you know, anti-American, tyrannical, like, that would not be right. Okay.
Yes.
However, they're still okay with, like, the Confederacy having done that and wanting to keep up the statues for that. It's just, yeah, again, consistency, people. Just be consistent.
Right.
That's all I ask.
And it's also, you have to think, it's probably a political strategy for Trump as well, is he is very down in the polls right now. Like, suburban white women have left him. Suburbanites in general have left him. It's really just, like, you know, non-college educated white men that are still kind of there. And even that, some of them are, like, I think, starting to, like lose it for the cause. Although not according to my next door page, but that's a whole other story. I know the trenches. But no, it's a terrible strategy, because, you know, he's also way down amongst, you know, the older demographics, the people that I think that they were relying on. And I think he's trying to create images of, you know, portraying the protests that once, you know, after they tear gassed everybody in the National Mall to get their Bible upside down Bible photo op, you know, I that really turned a lot of people off. And, you know, I think everything kind of calmed down because it's been, what, 55, 56 days of protests at this point. And the last month has been very peaceful, and you haven't really heard much about them. And then we have these, and it's not even that they're federal troops, it's that they're not even marked. So people didn't know if they were, like, mercenaries. It was, you know, if Eric Prince was, like,
if they were the crazies from the bunkers.
They were the crazies from the bunkers.
Can you imagine?
Like, they
those
didn't.
Poor protesters. How
right.
Scary.
Like, they have no idea who is kidnapping them off the streets, literally forcing them into unmarked vans and detaining them. Like, and just no idea. So I think he's trying to create like an anti-law and order, law and order, sorry. sometimes my accent makes me, whatever. But I think he's trying to create like this narrative to try to bring in, to fearmonger and bring in some of the older people back to him, or some of the people who he lost because of his mishandling of the pandemic. And I think this is his him trying to like create something so he could be like, it's not MS-13, it's Antifa. Look what they're doing. And they're going to do this to all of your cities. And this is what's going to happen if you defund the police. And it's, I don't even know how many people are buying it at this point.
I don't know. I feel like some people maybe are, but like some people watch The Handmaid's Tale. They get it. Hopefully.
The only
very reminiscent.
The only thing I disagree with you on with that, Colleen, is I don't think he has any idea what a narrative is.
All right. Okay. I think Stephen Miller and Jared Kushner and Bill Barr are trying to do something.
Might, but he does not. He just does things. And anytime you try to assign reason.
Yeah.
To him, I think you're giving him too much credit.
That's very true.
I think once upon a time, he was able to carry a full narrative. Because, yes, he's unqualified in just about every way possible. But in his heyday, he is an incredible marketer. And that's how we got here in the first place.
But people are sick of that shit.
Yeah. But I think we're now seeing... You know, read whatever you want, but like we're seeing a Trump that is becoming unhinged by the second. So yes, I think he no longer can hold the thought, but he's still trying to play from the same playbook, even though his mental capacity is
because
is
that's not his mental capacity
quite
because
maybe where it once was
stoking fear, causing sowing chaos, pitting people against each other. That's always been his playbook because he's a narcissist, because he's a sociopath, because he's just a fucking scumbag. And I think at this point, with all it, just people aren't they're sick of it. They're sick of it. Like I know.
Hope so.
I know my family. I don't know if they're going to vote for him or not. I expect it's going to go half and half. I expect at some point, I don't know, killing babies after they're born is going to come back into play and it's going to get the Catholics back in line or something. I'm not really sure. But I do know that my family has stopped watching the news because I think that like that, you know, they know it's wrong and I don't think that they can handle it. And I have to imagine that there's a lot more like swing voters that, you know, generally they're right leaning independents that, you know, tend to vote, you know, more conservatively for certain things. I think that a lot of them are not buying it and they're sick of it. I mean, aren't we all tired of, you know, being at home?
I think a big
there's no plan. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I think a big piece of all of this touches on little bits and pieces that we've heard just in the last few minutes. It's like this government is, and especially this crazy president, they're sowing seeds of fear, and they've always been sowing seeds of fear. And when we look at what's happening in Portland and we look at what's been happening all throughout, not just this pandemic, but all throughout the last, you know, 3.5 crazy years, is we think about how they're trying to make everybody fearful and angry and reactionary. And, you know, it's good to hear, Colleen, that maybe some people in your life are maybe moving more toward a middle lane, because I feel like one of the biggest problems we're dealing with and one of the things that makes me want to bang my head against the wall and makes me want to give up in some senses and say I can't do anything about it is that people have chosen their lane. And no matter what they hear, they're not willing to shift into a different lane. And so there are people in my life, and I've been questioning a friendship very much, which has been weighing on my mind so much that I've had nightmares about it, because I feel like no matter what you say to somebody, they don't listen to you. They only want to confirm their own narrative. And, you know, someone was asking me about this call that we're on tonight, and I was saying a lot of us are like-minded. There are a few people in political overflow who maybe have some differences of opinion. And there are some of us here who have certain issues that we feel strongly about. But a lot of us are very like-minded, which is great, and I'm happy to have it. But what do we do about those people who, and I'm going to be very ethnocentric and egocentric right now, but what do we do about those people who are wrong? They're just flat out wrong. They're believing fake news. they're claiming that we are the ones who are making the fake news, but they're believing things that aren't real, and we end up in situations that are dangerous, like what's happening in Portland, like what's been happening throughout. So anyway, I know that was a long rambling speech, but I want to figure out ways that we can help people to actually see what's real. I don't know if anybody watched John Oliver last night, last week, tonight.
Oh, it's new?
It is new. I just watched it today. Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say, the end of John Oliver, when he had all the celebrities, like Alec Trebek on there.
It's John Cena. Like,
I say, listen to what it was really good what he did at the end.
Oh, I'm going to watch it as soon as we're done.
It was great.
It was really good.
Okay. His point was about people believing conspiracy theories. And so then he got all these celebrities like John Cena and Alex Trebek and
O'Hara.
It's crazy. All right.
Yeah. And I'm going to put the link. I'm going to put the link to this website. It's called the True something or other. I'm going to put it in the chat.
Okay.
I saved it. The True Truth. And they're talking about how people should not believe what they see, and they should really try to figure it out themselves. So anyway,
well, and you know what, though, that is something that I think both sides do, because today we had that shooting with the judge, the federal judge in New Jersey, and so I'm sure everybody here has heard it, but if anybody who has listening hasn't heard it yet, there was a shooting. So yesterday, somebody dressed up as a FedEx delivery man shot and killed the 20-year-old son of a federal circuit judge in New Jersey, and injured her husband. And she had handled some high profile cases, and immediately people latched onto the fact that she was assigned to the Deutsche Bank Epstein stuff just a few days ago. And, you know, instantly the internet, everybody was like, that's it. You know, it's the Epstein stuff. It's coming out, blah, 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 blah. And then it turned out that it was actually a lawyer who was a men's rights activist who had tried a case before her in 2015 and was just assigned another case. And his case was, he's the person who's appeared on Fox News actually for suing bars and nightclubs for having ladies' nights because, you know, hashtag equality. And that made them like, I know. So, but, you know, and I think one of the cases that he had, I don't know if it was the 2015 one or the new one, was on the all-male draft in the military. so anyway, it turns out this person they believe is responsible because he committed suicide, and he was found with a package with her name on it and a FedEx uniform like in his car, and he had killed himself in upstate New York. And the internet was like, very much, you know, we refuse to believe that a woman hating attorney that, you know, had a relationship with her previously, and he had manifestos where he actually named her in them about how much he hated her and other women, could be responsible for this. And it was like, I don't believe it. It has to be the Deutsche Bank connection. And it's like, I think it was Mike who pointed out, he was like, don't you think that people that are professional bad guys would do a better job of like intimidating a judge than like sloppily in front of witnesses killing like her family, like, and then killing themselves? And it's like, yes. So it's like, people want to believe conspiracy theories, but like, by peddling something that very obviously has a to B to C connection, I think gives more power to conspiracy theories, which then gives more power to the right to believe conspiracy theories, which then, like, I don't know, puts us all in a really dangerous place. Like, maybe don't give power to things when there's an obvious answer. Like, it's very frustrating to me in general. Sorry, I got long and rambly here, but like,
yeah. That's exactly what John Oliver was saying last night. When there's a big event, we want like a big explanation, and we don't want to accept like a simple explanation for it.
Just like, what, like, why is it hard to believe that a misogynist would want to kill a woman and actually go through with it? Like, that happens every day.
A misogynist with like violent writings about women.
Yeah. Like, that's like, yeah,
his
that's
resume
makes too much sense. If the past 3 years have taught us anything, is that the sensical solution is not the right one. Right. The when logical outcome shows you, is just, it's just not right.
When somebody shows you who they are, believe him. In this case, this dude said, I hate this judge. His resume said he was an anti-feminist lawyer, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. Feels pretty obvious to me.
Yeah.
Right. You have a manifesto. You're usually not up to anything good.
What? What'd you say?
Wait, I missed the first part of what you said, Matt.
Like, if you're a person with a manifesto, odds are you're not up to anything.
I think I will argue with you there. I feel like maybe in contemporary society, yes, that has been the case. But there was a time when, you know, like the Surrealist Manifesto, they weren't calling for violence per se. They were remarking on the craziness.
But that was
of the
a
world,
group's
but...
manifesto. He's talking about like
art, as opposed to one individual soul.
No, but like written mostly by one person. Just saying. Nowadays, this I see the argument, but yeah. Once upon a time, man, manifestos, we need to take them back. They're not what they used to be.
You made a manifesto on that.
Yes,
my manifesto of why we need to reclaim manifesto.
My manifesto advocating for peace and equality. God damn it. See?
So we just to go back to Ro for a second, because she had a question about what do we do, and
yes, sorry.
And I will unfortunately, Ro, there's not much you can do. You know, people have what they think. They typically, especially when you get down to this core group that we're at now,
the 37%, as I like to call them,
just watch Fox News.
We're OAN now.
Don't even live in an area that has news necessarily. That's one of my big. This was many years ago when I started traveling a lot. When I got out of the Washington area and I saw newspapers, and there would be a single column of national news, and that's all the national news that people got. And wow. I'm used to a newspaper with national news and a single column on local news. You know, so they don't get the information. What they get is filtered through the Fox News network and similar networks, and they want to believe that there is something about them that makes them special, and so they're going to believe somebody who tells them, especially the, you know, going down to the base now, the white males, for the most part, that they're going to get power, that they're losing their power. This is, you know, it's everybody else's fault, and easily manipulated. What we can do is speak when we have a chance to speak and vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think voting is the big one.
I think pushing back on people is also important. I know there's a time and a place for it, because social media is often not always a time and the place, but like that dude that I argued with on my next door page, and you know, who point was, you know, being just a complete dick to everyone, and like masks are political and blah, blah, blah. And I simply said, look, dude, everyone in my family voted for Donald Trump, and every single one of them wears a mask when they leave the house. It's not political. You're just telling yourself that, like, to justify the fact that you think it's cool to put people's lives at risk. You're an asshole. Like, and that's when that person deleted all his posts and, you know, gave, I think I tweeted the screen cap on Twitter. He was just like, yeah. You're picking on a kid, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you said you're 22, so you're not a kid.
I know, but then, like, to be fair, he probably went and wrote a manifesto. And like, but that's seriously, true. But no, like, I mean, I think
I blocked him because I was actually scared of him.
Yeah, and rightly so. I mean, I think there are definitely a lot of people that you kind of, it's kind of hopeless, or maybe the situation will present itself, but I just try not to interact. I know that my main strategy when I disagree with somebody on something that I know I'm right about, or that I have the clear moral ground about, is to shame them. And I also know that that is 100% not effective, and actually the opposite of effective, but I can't help myself. Maybe more like empathic listening. like you're supposed to find common ground and then go from there and like little by little. But oh my God, that takes so much
empathic
energy.
Listening doesn't always work with these folks. I'm honestly true. Like, because I tried that for a long time and it doesn't always yeah. work. Shaming them also doesn't always work. This happens.
It's like been shown in studies that it's like people do not respond well to that. I get it. But right. I wish that they did because they should feel shame.
But right. you speak like no truth. One likes to be told they're wrong and immediately makes them shut down. But sometimes you just can't help it when they just really are truly
they
wrong.
They just really are wrong. I'm sorry.
I don't know how else to say it to you.
There are certain, like there are so many areas of gray in the world, but like things like, you know, putting kids in cages, like it's not, there's no room for gray there.
Oh, I hate the people that are like.
We all agree that that's just not okay.
I know there's a side note, and I know that I've been going off on this for like 2 years, but I hate the people that are like, well, their parents should have brought them here. Well, their parents, they broke the law. Well, Obama didn't. It's like, wrong.
There's
and
no
wrong.
Well, but.
That also does not take away from the fact that there are children that have still not been reunited with their parents, and it's still happening today because there, as I think you guys all watched John Oliver, as you've seen, it was John Oliver, right, who pointed out the fact that. Or maybe it wasn't John Oliver. It might have been on Deconstructive Podcast, actually, that I heard it. But, like, they're giving people the option now. You can either be separated or you can go back home. Like, if you're separated, the parent gets deported. The kid can stay here. If they opt to stay together, then they have to leave. And that's what's going on right now. So it hasn't gotten better, like... Maybe they're not forcefully ripping them apart, but like they're still not giving them like the option. Like they're still not honoring like international agreements for refugee laws and all of that. Like it's still happening.
Right. And because there's so much else shit going on, the news isn't covering it because there's so many other things to talk about.
But speaking of the news, I mean, I will say like Jen, you were talking about the difference between when you go to a small town and you see what their newspaper is like. I mean, even just the other night we were watching just like American news and then I changed the channel at one point just to like, I think it was like BBC International. And it was like, oh, right. This is what my news experience used to be like. There's like, you know, a little bit on like stuff that's going on in the US. And then there's like all this other shit going on in the rest of the world. Like, who knew?
Right.
You know, I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday who lives in Israel, and she's off on this whole tangent about, you wouldn't believe what's happening here. You couldn't imagine it. We're having these protests and the government is shooting water at these protesters, and you wouldn't believe what's going on with Netanyahu, and you wouldn't believe how terrible it is. And you would. And I mean, she was just on and on and on. And at one point, and there is a little bit of a language barrier. I mean, she speaks English. I don't speak Hebrew, but still, you know, after about 3 or 4 minutes, I wanted to scream. No, actually, I would believe it. I would exactly
believe
it. And I couldn't even say anything, but eventually I said, yes, you know, oh, Trump. And then she was like, oh, I guess maybe you have some similarities. I'm like, you think?
Wait, did you say, hey, why don't you replace the water with tear gas and then we can talk?
Right.
Rubber bullets, tear gas.
Everything. But it goes back to what you were all just saying. Amanda, I think what you just said as well, that there's so many huge issues. We can't give them all coverage. Kids in cages. People being systematically, you know, killed, coronavirus, climate crisis. There's these huge issues. And then there's tiny little issues, too. How do we address them all? We can't. And yes, we've got to vote. I agree with Joanne on that. I agree with all of you on that. But man, sometimes it's friggin' exhausting.
I mean, yes. It is exhausting.
I agree that it's hard to cover everything, but I think that we could do an exceptionally better job at it, because when you have like any news channel on, it's like the same three stories over and over and over, and it's like repeat images, and they're saying the same thing in a slightly different way, and then there's like maybe one tiny thing added to it. It's like, that's a lot of airtime that you could actually be investigating other things, reporting on other things, actually talking about other things. But I think some of those things, maybe they don't think it's going to sell as well, or
just grab to go back to
yours
That in the same way that we have privatized healthcare, we have commercialized television and more specifically the news. So a lot of entities just, they have to do what's going to get them ratings, because ratings is what gets them sponsors, which is what pays the bills and keeps the lights on. So it's hard to have fair imbalance when, you know, you're forever chasing the carrot.
Right. I don't understand why the Portland story, to go back to where we started, is not a bigger thing. As you pointed out, like, that's, we're like halfway to authoritarianism right here. Like, I mean, that's not great. And like the people who are posting memes on Facebook who are like, wearing a mask, being told to wear a mask is taking away your personal liberties, and America has become a like socialist state. And I'm like, A, that's not socialism, because if we
because
were socialist,
they would give us the masks.
They would give everyone the masks for free. But I was just like, yes, America, the country of privatized healthcare and $1,200 to get through an undisclosed amount of a shutdown of unemployment is, you know, is socialist. But okay, Karen, cool. But like, it just boggles the mind. Like, there are certain things that I think the press, and you know, Amanda, it's all about money and whatever, but like, there are certain things that the press does have a responsibility to tell us about. And that's why I know, unpopular opinion, but that's why I love like Twitter, is because you generally can like get the more left stories out there. And I can't believe that I'm actually classifying like hearing about the Portland, the government kidnapping people in Portland is a leftist story now, where it really, it should be like every libertarian in the world. Like, I'm waiting for Nick's Facebook post about it, but like, I don't understand.
I was going to ask. You have the most contact with the...
I'm just teasing. I love teasing him. But like, this should be a bigger story, because this is not great.
I have a libertarian friend that I went to high school with, and I had to unfollow him because he has some views that are just way too, like, he's really against Black Lives Matter, and he's, I don't know. But yeah, I went to his page yesterday just to see what he's saying about what's happening in Portland, and guess what? He said absolutely nothing about it. Not surprised.
Again, just consistency. That's all I ask. Well, you're going to like follow an ideology, just be fucking consistent, if nothing else.
What do I always say about libertarians, Shandy, like privately? What do I always say is like, they're Republicans that are scared to be Republicans.
Yeah, I always say they're fence sitters. Mm. They just want to sit on the fence and... They're both right. Just as bad.
But you know what? They're always the ones. They're the people that we were talking about that, or because I was going to mention this before, is there are certain people, and I think this is part of the 37%, that just want to be the victim. They have the persecution complex. Like, they just want to play victim. And some of them are going to sit on the fence, but they're always going to fall to the side that's least popular, because they want to, like, you know, cry and make a big scene about how nobody likes them, so then everyone can be like, oh no, you're a great person, we can all disagree, we're all friends. And it's like, motherfucker, if you're okay with like the military kidnapping people and not identifying where they're from, or children being ripped from their parents and locked in cages, then I don't know, maybe you're just wrong and you're a terrible person, you're not a good person, you suck, like, you suck. Oh, and somebody should tell you that you suck.
Reflection.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's, yeah, I think like the, like you were saying, calling libertarianism, it's like they've read the room enough to realize that calling themselves a Republican would make them look like an asshole.
Right. But they don't like religion. They also don't like religion, and they have a gay friend, so they're okay.
Right. Right. Like, but for me, it's like, it's all the same. Like, Republican, libertarian, same, same. You know, it's slightly different philosophies within an overarching, selfish and gross, like, way to see the world.
A slightly different shade of gray.
Yeah. A slightly different shade of awful, basically.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, get all ragey there for a second. But, like, for the record, if you're okay with that stuff, you are a terrible person. And maybe, I don't know, maybe just listen to other people's experiences. Like,
I know. And that's the thing, is telling them that they're a terrible person when it's, like, verifiably and objectively true because of the issues that you just talked about, that is not an effective strategy because, again, it gets back to shaming them. And apparently shame doesn't work. And I just think that that's really too bad that humans are hardwired that way because, man.
Will, have you been to any of the protests to, like, see these secret police or anything? Or oh, no.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah, I've muted myself. Sorry. Now, there's a part of me that feels bad for not being out there protesting every night, but I'm also very paranoid about coronavirus, and I'm kind of, you know, immunocompromised, and I'm kind of really afraid to, you know, get sick out there, even though I'm hearing they're not, you know, it's not really spreading amongst the protesters that much because they're being careful. But no, I haven't been out there, but I do watch some of the live feeds every night that are, that I see on Twitter and Facebook, and some of my friends have been out there.
Yeah, do not be safe to yourself. You know, yes, they are mostly safe, but if you're compromised, right now is not the time to do things that don't save yourself.
There are plenty of ways to be part of the movement that don't involve being out in the streets if you if you definitely are afraid of. Yeah. Exactly. Like, there's plenty of other ways you can contribute.
And it is interesting though to note, because that's definitely something that I've heard also, is that the rise in cases is not significantly due to the protests. Mm-hmm. It's because most of the protesters are wearing masks. Like, once again, come back to, I don't know, Darwinism? Like,
yeah, they're wearing masks. They're facing the same way. They're outside. Like, they're.
And what side of the aisle are most of the protesters on? I'm just saying.
In this case, yeah. Well, the other thing is, one of the things I don't like is when people say, well, the higher numbers in some of these rural states are the COVID, and Florida are the COVID parties. The COVID parties are doing it. Like, it's the young people doing the COVID parties. And I'm like, how many young people do you have in this state? Like, guess what?
I mean, it's Florida not particularly. Come now.
Like, yeah, I know, right?
Sorry, that was a very poor taste joke. I apologize.
No, it's okay. Good night, Will.
Oh, good night, Will. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
But I
think it is. It is more being driven by younger people in some states, but that doesn't mean it's okay. Even if it's a younger person, they don't know what effect it's going to have down the road, and just because they had the sniffles,
yes,
our wonderful president.
The
Tennessee numbers, they said last week, towards the end of last week, that the three counties that were the highest were Nashville, Davidson County, where Nashville is, Shelby County, where Memphis is, and then the county I live in, Rutherford, was the third. And those three counties made up 50% of Tennessee's numbers. Well, wow. Rutherford, we just issued a mask mandate today that doesn't start till Wednesday. We were one of the first counties to open up.
Yep.
Our kids are going back to school in 3 weeks.
Good God.
And we have the option to distant learn. But today I was on a call with the school district where they were answering questions, and 7% of the kids in the county have already opted in to do the distant learning of all the schools. So anyone, if you are in Nashville and you wanted to go out and go have a Bud Light at a bar or whatever, you would just come to my county because we're open for business. We don't care. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And when I go to Walmart, it's like half the people don't have masks. It's like, what are you doing?
And I think that's what they're saying. It is like, regardless of age, and I know I've even been guilty of making jokes about spring break in Florida, and obviously it's not good to like be traveling, but you know, across the country to go on a beach and have a vacation. But I think what they're saying is really affecting it is being in an enclosed space. So if dine-in restaurants are opening up, then I think that's where this is coming from. And
yeah. And in Nashville, they lifted like whatever stage 4 or 3 that they're on right now to reopen. The bars are reopened. And there was a video, a news anchor posted. He was on Broadway Friday night. And it was just, he drove down Broadway and there was people everywhere on the streets. The bars were open. All the honky tonks. No one had on a mask. No one was away from each other. It's like, what are we doing? Wow. Yeah.
It's like, we're never going to make it to this. You know, there is like the second wave is worse, but it's like, we're never going to make it. We're never going to make it to the second wave if we can't just buckle down and just do what we're supposed to.
Right. Doesn't everybody want nice things?
I know.
Yes.
It's like, to a certain extent, none of me understands why people are upset at being told they have to wear a mask. But at the same time, you shouldn't have to be told. You should just do it because it's protecting you and it's protecting others around you. It's like if everyone just took it as their responsibility as a active participant of our society, we wouldn't have to have a mandate.
Yeah.
That's the whole problem though with libertarianism and that sort of mindset. And that's like what is wrong with what's going on right now is that there isn't that care for others. And there isn't that concern for like being part of society. For me, libertarianism is completely asocial, antisocial. It like, you're not wanting to be part of a society, even though you're reaping all the benefits, because libertarians are not just like out there roughing it by themselves. Let's be clear. Right. But yeah, you have to have that mindset. That's why the mask is the perfect symbol of like, do you care or are you selfish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's bring it full circle back to when we were talking about the hypocrisy of things, because people want to say, oh, it's okay for your store to say they're not going to serve me because I'm gay, or it's okay for you to say, you know, I lost my train of thought from the other thing I was going to say, but. For me, my government can't tell me to wear a mask. Oh, I know, the other thing that I was going to say was, and it's okay for my company not to provide my people with birth control pills, but we are going to pay for your Viagra. Mm-hmm. So that this we're full circle.
Ooh.
The hypocrisy of it all. Mm-hmm. And this garners more and more frustration. And then again, here we are. What do we do? Because everybody's back in their own lanes.
Right. Right.
I don't know.
And it's like when someone is so set and so unwilling to see that hypocrisy, it's hard to try and make someone turn on a light when they don't want to.
As they said in The Dark Knight, one of them, some people just like to see the world burn.
Yeah.
I don't know who said it. I just know that quote is from there.
That was Dark Knight.
Oh, he said it. Okay.
No, it was Alfred. No, Alfred.
Alfred. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Michael Caine.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, I know Michael Caine. Is he problematic? I hope he's not problematic. I love him in Miss Congeniality. And he's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, great. The best of the Christmas carols. Can we all just, can we all agree that Muppet Christmas Carol is the best of the Christmas carols?
100%.
Okay.
Jinx.
Great. Common ground. We did it.
Yeah. But God, let me just live in the next 30 seconds before somebody tells me how problematic he is. I'm sure he is. He's an old.
Now I'm just thinking about the Christmas Carol and how it's a timeless story of a Republican finally learning to care about something other than himself.
It's part of the liberal socialist agenda.
He probably is a libertarian.
No, it's part of the liberal socialist agenda that he shares all his wealth at the end. Or
I got a quick question for everybody, a slightly different subject, but along the lines of our wonderful president. Anybody take the test?
No, but the test is going around online, and I saw it right before
we
started.
It was tough. It was tough. I had a hard time, but I aced it.
Did you get the elephant right?
I can tell what a camel, a rhino, and an elephant are.
Yes!
I can get it out.
Hold on. My favorite.
I always knew you were smart.
My absolute favorite part of the Chris Wallace, Donald Trump interview from this past week that aired on July 19th was when they're arguing about the cognitive test. And he's like, well, the questions at the end are really hard. And Chris Wallace is like, well, one of them is like counting backwards from 100 to by 7. And Trump keeps going and Wallace is in the back. He's like, 93.
And it's multiple choice. I didn't even realize this. It's not just it's multiple choice.
And it really says something where the president of the United States thinks that counting backwards from 7 is hard. Because you just go by multiples, right?
Right. And it's right there in front of you. You have 4 choices.
I was thinking that would be hard to do in my head, but like with multiple choice, forget it. No, sorry. No excuse, sir.
It's like answer A, 95, 90,
99,
also, like, 90. Good old fashioned finger math. Like, yeah. you got your tools to do it right here.
That's what she said.
And yeah, he's proud. You
know. I'm here for the next.
If Joanne minutes. Took it, I saw it right before we were going to start, and I do need to take it. I really want to. It's only, what, like 11 questions or something crazy like that? It's not even that.
I heard the last 5 are a doozy.
I've on good authority, people are saying.
Yeah, BBC, the BBC.
People told me.
The last 5
that I did. Okay. Oh my God.
It takes about 5 seconds. It's really fast. Really not hard.
Oh. So what we really need to do.
Chris Wallace said.
Honestly, I think that every president should take in real time, like live for everyone, the immigration test that Frank had to take.
Yeah.
Yes. Like you should know basic shit. And you know that Donald Trump doesn't know, like, you know, we all know he's never actually read the Constitution at this point. Constitutional scholars that also happen to be conservative. Just saying. Second, like, I don't know. He's dumb, the end.
I think you could actually stop that sentence at he's never read.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever finished an entire book in his whole life.
Yeah. Hey, remember
maybe
that?
Goodnight Moon.
It was read to him. No, according to Mary Trump, nobody ever read him Goodnight Moon or anything else.
Yeah.
Excerpts from that book and the stuff that I've heard on podcasts about that book are absolutely, like, awful. Like, yeah.
I'm sure he hasn't even read his own book.
Oh yeah, well, we all know that.
I don't think he's read the Art of the Deal. I don't think he's even read it.
Yeah. Remember that time?
Too long didn't read.
Remember that time that the Russians were killing Afghani mercenaries to kill our soldiers, and it just kind of faded away.
Yep, that feels like so long ago. That was like last week. What the hell?
That fell into like the murder hornet category of the news cycle this year. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty awful.
Yeah.
That's a pretty huge story.
And by pretty awful, I mean, that's actually fucking terrible. And any other president would be, well, of course, we know that like Bush and Cheney would be like, war? Okay, let's do it. Like, like, no, I feel like anybody else. Like,
do they have oil? Okay, let's do it.
Who has oil? It was their fault.
But he hasn't
I just watched a Dick Rumsfeld documentary.
It's
on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Shoot, I can't remember the name. But it was funny, it was at the end, the documentationer said, so why are you doing this? And he says, I don't really know. Because he was clearly not being, he wasn't made out to be a wonderful person in this. And yet, willing to sit down with this guy, and it was well done in terms of really pointing out things about him. But
so he's a narcissist too.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the last couple of minutes here, everybody go out and take the test. Maybe we can all compare scores.
Yes, Matt. The unknown known is the name of the documentary.
Documentary? Okay. The unknown known.
The unknown known.
That sounds like the Royal Juror.
Yeah.
It's by Errol Juror. Very famous documentarian.
Errol Morris.
Yeah.
In Blue Line.
Oh, yeah.
Which I also have never seen. I should get on that.
Great movie.
Yeah. So I've heard.
Other things that happened real quick over last week. The Roger Stone commutation. Wasn't that like within the last week? It's really hard to figure out time sometimes. That happened within the last week, right?
Last two, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, I think it was last Friday, because it was like a one of the Friday night news dumps. But we also
getting so good at those, the Friday night news dump.
Yeah, but everybody's on to them, because just like with everything else they do, they never change up the playbook, and it's getting easier and easier to catch on. John Lewis passed away. Congressman Lewis, which was really sad.
Oh, that was tough.
I know, that one was a tough one. Did you guys see, and I think Matt just pointed out in the chat, not Matt Gaetz. Marco Rubio tweeted this like in memoriam thing to John Lewis, but he put a, of himself and John Lewis, but it was actually a picture of himself and Elijah Cummings, who passed away a couple of months ago. I know.
Oh my God.
I know. It's time for him to now release like a secret child that's not his. But my favorite, so then Twitter took to, you know, did what Twitter does, and they started posting pictures of people that were unrelated, like to the tweet. And my absolute favorite one was Marco Rubio is having a tough day, and it was a picture of Matt Gaetz. I laughed. It's like they're both jackasses, and this is hilarious. But anyway, rest in power, John Lewis, because, hopefully they'll rename the bridge after him, except
that's got to be a given.
The Trump interview, did you guys hear what he said in the interview with Chris Wallace?
No.
So he was like, And the Democrats want to defund education. They tell us that Columbus was here in 1619. Was here in 1492.
Oh my God, yes, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was here in 1492, and now they want us to believe something else, like the 1619 Project. Like, what is that all about?
I know.
And Chris Wallace is like, it's about slavery. And he was like, is it? I mean, they don't even know. I don't even know. Like, no, it's
that was the biggest mic drop. But remember when he said that people now know about Juneteenth because of him? So again, yeah, consistency. Come on.
The mask today. Say, like, wearing a mask is patriotic now.
Yes, apparently.
Taking credit for it.
Some people even say it's patriotic.
Birtherism, a long history of this shit.
Somebody finally told him, like, dude, get people wearing the mask because it's not going to get better.
Right. So,
anyway, without further ado, does anybody else have anything that they want to discuss? Otherwise, we can wrap this up on that note. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Colleen, did your boys decide on if they're going back to school? Is that going back to school?
So the virtual... So Wake County had three options, like we talked about. And one of the options... So plan A was back to school in full. We're not... Nobody's allowed to do that. Plan B is a mixture, 1 week on in school, 2 weeks off. And plan C is all virtual. And then there's the option of enrolling in the virtual academy for either one semester or the whole year. And we didn't know what to do. We wanted... Zachary did okay with the virtual learning, but being so young, like, the 2 hours a day that he had was pretty much his limit. Like, that was it. And the virtual... Yeah. The learning had... And the virtual academy, they both had 5 hours of instruction per day. So we were a little worried and thought that perhaps the plan B, going 1 week on and 2 weeks off, would have been better for him, because he would then at least have that in-person instruction from somebody that was in authority that wasn't mommy.
Right.
For that. But then, you know, there was always that anxiety all week last week. Like, is that right? Is that not? Then the daycare sent home a survey saying that they are looking into having a capped small classroom of K-5 students enrolled, where they would do tutoring throughout the day. You just had to send them in with a tablet with all the passwords for, like, the student stuff online. And so then I was like, oh, that's a good option, because, again, he'll listen to them a whole lot more. But, again, there's the safety concern, and what's our privilege versus what is right versus what is, you know, realistic to do versus what is safe. And it was really weighing on me pretty heavy all week. So that's the thing that we've got to decide now. And I think they need their answer by Friday. I don't know. It's a tough call.
It's a hard choice.
It is a really hard choice. Because at the end, I just want what's best for him.
Right.
And like his absolute max was the 2 hours. Like he was done by the time we were done with it, and it was tough for him again. And he was just like, "Why do I have to do this?" And I was like, "Cause you have to learn." And he was like, "That's not a good enough answer." And I was like, "I don't know. Do you want to be stupid?"
But also the way that we learn things was different than the way they learn it now. The way they learn it now is stupid. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like to me, it doesn't make sense when Maddie comes to me with a question, especially with math. She asked me a question and I'm like, I can give you the answer. I can show you the easy way, but you don't know the easy way. You learn the hard way. Go ask your sister. Yeah. Because she gets it.
I know.
I don't get it.
But I don't know. We have to see. I feel like I'm leaning towards doing the program there just because I feel like for him, that would be the best. I don't know. So ask me next week.
You have time to decide.
I have time to decide. Open enrollment for Virtual Academy is closed as of 5:30 today, but it's going to reopen again in a day and a half. And then I'll start the process of thinking and being stressed all over again. But anyway, sorry, long tangent for me. If anybody out there would like to participate again, the Zoom links will be, the link is in all the Facebook groups. Message us or message me if you need it. Or you can, if you're friends with somebody on this call, you can message them. You know, all we ask is if you want to participate, you be kind, you be respectful, you don't discredit anybody's learned experience. So if somebody shares a story and that's not how you have experienced it, don't sit there and tell them they're wrong. I don't think that's going to be a problem with anybody. As Amanda pointed out today, this is a discussion, not a debate. So we want to make it a place where we can all learn from what each other are saying versus making somebody feel that, you know, what they have to think doesn't matter. But I will say, if you think that kids in cages and people, the government kidnapping grown adults off the streets is okay, you're still going to be wrong, and we're going to tell you that. But I think we're going to be okay here.
I think so too.
Thank you to everyone who joined us. It was really great. I hope you guys had a good time. We will be live again next month for another broad topics discussion on Monday, August 17th at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. Again, the link will be everywhere except Twitter because I learned the hard way last time. And that's it. We'll be recording a new episode later on today as this comes out on July 21st. Feedback for this, feedback for anything, broadcasters3@gmail.com. You can give us a call, 331-276-2373. As always, we appreciate you listening. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And that's Joanne and Ro and Mandy and Matt and Jim. And I'm sure Will there at some point. Yeah. Will. All right, everybody. Peace out.
Bye. Bye.